The title of the sermon is there a chink in your armor? Now, I assume that all of you know what chink in your armor means, right? In case you don't, it means a special weakness that provides a means for attacking or impressing someone otherwise invulnerable. A chink in your armor. Anybody could guess what that picture represents there? Well, what is it? Do you know who that little baby is? Yeah. That little baby is Achilles. Achilles was the son of a mortal, Peleus, and a nymph named Thetis. Thetis tried to make her son immortal, in some account, by dipping him into the river Styx while holding him by the left ankle. Now, folks, this is Greek mythology, okay? It sure is fascinating reason, but it's a bunch of baloney. And you see, a sage came to Achilles' mother and told her that the Trojan War would not be won by the Greeks unless Achilles fights. And she knew that Achilles would die in this battle, so she hid him away. But the great general Odysseus found him and convinced him to come to war. And this boy who was dipped in the river Styx in order to make him invulnerable to attack, an arrow from the enemy hit him exactly in the heel that the mother did not dip in the water, and it proved fatal. Achilles had a chink in his armor. And so the question is today, do we have a chink in our armor? And I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1 and 2 and 5 through 10. And let's read about a king who had a chink in his armor. 2 Chronicles. Children, turn in your Bibles. I want you to follow along. By the way, if there's any children in here without a Bible, see me after church. I'll give you a Bible so that you can turn with us to these beautiful stories in Scripture. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1, 2, and 5 through 10. You got it? Then let the congregation say amen.
Amen.
All right. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem, and he did right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. Verse 5. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and set over them captains of thousands and captives of hundreds, according to their fathers' houses throughout all of Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them to be 300,000 choice men, able to go to war, who could handle spear and shield. He also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. Check this out, folks. But a man of God came to him saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel. not with any of the children of Ephraim. But if you go, be gone. Be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help or to overthrow. And then Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given the troops of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. So Amaziah discharged the troops that had come to him from Ephraim and told them to go home. Now I want you to check out where Amaziah is on this chart. Here are the kings of Judah, and I don't know how well you can see it. I couldn't find a chart bigger than this. And I put the first three kings, of course, right here, Saul, David, and Solomon. But then Solomon's son Rehoboam, then Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Ahaziah, Athaliah, Joaz, and there he is, Amaziah. In total here, there are 20 kings. And he is right about in the middle. And notice what it says about him. Read it with me. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. In other words, there was a chink in his armor. Well, let's look at this more closely and see how this chink develops. In 2 Chronicles 25, it says 1 through 6. That's the wrong number. I want you to start with verse number 11. Then Amaziah strengthened himself, and leading his people, he went to the Valley of Salt and killed 10,000 people of Seir. Also the children of Judah took captives, 10,000 alive, brought them to the top of a rock and cast down from the top of a rock so that they all were dashed to pieces. Now, by the way, the children of Seir is right here, is the kingdom of Edom, just south of Jerusalem. And the Valley of Salt is right here, south of the Dead Sea. See? That's where that battle took place. And so he obeyed the prophet. He got rid of the 100,000 from Israel, and he marched instead with his 300,000. And they won a great victory. And the Bible says that Amaziah did right in the eyes of the Lord. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. What did you have them say, Beth? Okay, that's it. Hallelujah. That's it. I mean, I want God to say that about me. Right? Peter did right in the eyes of the Lord. Well, let's read a little bit more of the story and see what a chink in the armor can do. Let's look at verse 14, folks, and see if it startles you the way it startled me. Now, it was so, after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the people of Seir, set them up to be, what? His gods, and bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said, why have you sought the gods of the people which could not rescue their own people from your hand. So it was as he talked with him that the king said to him, "What have we made you, the king's counselor? Cease. Why should you be killed?" Hold on here, folks. Isn't there something really wrong? All right, I've had the opportunity because, you know, I prepare for the sermon. Maybe you missed it. That after God gave him this great victory, he then brought the idols, the heathen gods from his conquered country, brought them back to Jerusalem, set them up as his gods, and began to worship them. Does that make sense to you? And the prophet comes and asks a simple logical question. Why are you worshiping a god or gods that could not even deliver their people from your hand? And suddenly we see what it means when it says Amaziah did right in the eyes of the Lord, but his heart was not loyal. His heart was not right. A chink was in his armor that suddenly caused a fatal wound to take place. And shortly after this, Amaziah died. And the prophet warned him. And folks, it doesn't say it in either 1 Kings or 2 Kings, but you can listen to your pastor. Had he got on his knees and said, "I am sorry, I won't do this again. Please have God forgive me. Show me how to do right. Take my idols and burn them. Burn them in front of everybody. Let them know that I've changed my mind. Let them know that I want nothing to do with them." And God would have changed it. But Amaziah didn't do that. And shortly after this, he died a horrible death. And he didn't die a horrible death because God tortured him. He died a horrible death because he asked God to leave him alone and let me on my own. Brothers and sisters, do we or you or I have a chink in our armor? You know, I looked on the internet. There's all kinds of pictures of armor. Some of them are so gross. And what I mean by that is, if I put it on, I would fall over. And if I fell over, I don't think I could get up. But in spite of that, there are weaknesses in that armor. And so do we have a chink? So when you look at this story, you think how stupid these people were. Man, I would have never done that. Is that right? For you see, we have idols in our lives too. They may not be of stone, silver, wood, or gold. They could be the TV. They could be the computer. They could be a food. They could be immoral. Any or all of these things are chinks in the armor. And Satan will attack those chinks especially and drive home the point of an arrow, not the point of a thought. In fact, look at how serious this really is. I want to show you this. Let's take a look at this slide one more time. Look at the bottom now. I put something new. Now, I don't know how well you can see it from where you sit. But mine says, "Dark is a good king." How many did I say was on this list? 20. Let's count the dark. 1, 2, 3, For what? Does that make sense to anybody here? It doesn't to me. Now let's look at the ones that have a mixture of good and bad. Let's count them. They're the shaded ones, so let's try it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Four plus four is what? How many are on that list? How many of them were just plain bad? How many of them belong to the Seventh-day Adventist Church? No, all of them. Their membership was in the church. Are we giving in to cultural pressures that are everywhere around us? Are we allowing the inundation of this world and its thinking to influence us to the point where we are compromising principles? These are all chinks in the armor. Why do I tell you this? I'll tell you why. Because number one, I'm worried about me. How's that for selfishness? Jesus wasn't like that. He came here and He was worried about you. I'm worried about me. That's number one. But number two, guess what? I'm worried about you too. Because you don't get called to be the shepherd of a flock without loving your flock. Unless you're just working for the devil or whatever, or money, and pretty soon you'll know it and I'll be gone. Brothers and sisters, the influences out there are more powerful than we think. How often are you allowing your mind to come under the influence of the world through your eyes, through your ears, through your nose, through your mouth, through your touch? We've got to all begin to struggle with this issue. Because I want it to be said that Peter did right in the eyes of the Lord. In fact, let's look at that text again. The text says and he did right in the eyes of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. And I think the King James says perfect heart. And I looked it up in the Hebrew, and guess what? It says half. Half a heart. A divided heart. And I thought, Lord, that's me. I want to say that I'm Asa. I want to say I'm Jehoshaphat. I want to say I'm Hezekiah. And boy, he messed up at the end too. I want to say that I'm Josiah. But Lord, the truth is, I might be more like Joash. I might be more like Amaziah. I might be more like Uzziah. I might be more like Jothan. I might be more like... I ran out. All the rest are bad. All the rest are bad. And then when I read it, let me start to conclude here. I think they all had an opportunity to make God look good. They all had an opportunity back then to show that they were proud of their God for delivering them from Egypt. And yet instead, the vast majority gave in to the pressures, the cultural pressures around them. And we have Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross while we were yet sinners. And He did not hesitate to go through with it, even though everybody was rejecting Him. And imagine at the Last Supper, His 12 disciples were fighting over who's going to be number one. They missed the whole point for 3 whole years. And what did Jesus do? He went straight ahead. Why? Because committed love, unconditional love, is so powerful it will overcome the cultural pressures of this world we're living in. and folks, that can only come from beholding Jesus every single day. We must spend time on our knees and in our Bibles and the spirit of prophecy. And for each one of you, the length of the time may be different, but it must be done. And when we behold Jesus, we see a reason not to give in to the cultural pressures that took out 2/3 of the leaders of Israel. Instead of being influential in winning the crowds around them, they played the same game and lost their influence and their impact. And so, brothers and sisters, the question we have today to face is, do you have a chink in your armor? I want you to meet Union General John Sedgwick. During the Battle of the Wilderness, in the Civil War, he was inspecting his troops. At one point, he came to a parapet. And standing up on the parapet, over which he gazed out in the direction of the enemy, his officers suggested that this was unwise, and perhaps he ought to duck while passing the parapet. Nonsense, he snapped. They couldn't hit an elephant at this distance. A moment later, General Sedgwick lied on the ground, fatally wounded. Friends, when that happens, we make our God look weak and sickly. And He is waiting for a people who will make Him look good by, instead of trusting the world and the cultural pressures around, would instead follow the Bible principles and look for others that they can share it with and bring them to church so they can hear about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want you to know, in closing, that God can repair chinks in the armor. You can't, I can't, but He can. And may we all turn to Him for that purpose. Father in heaven, I want to thank You for the challenge of the hour. And we want You to help us to be more careful and prayerful, Lord. We want You to help us to see these issues more clearly, so that the enemy, even from a distance in which we think can't even hit an elephant, takes us out right on the spot. Lord, don't let anyone in this congregation be discouraged. Please, Lord. For we're all fighting a fight. And only You can deliver us, and only in fellowship together can we be strengthened to continue the battle. And we want You to help us to find others who especially need hope and help. So bless our congregation, pour out Your Spirit upon us, and let us stand tall for You the way You stood tall for us. And thank You that You always hear and always answer our prayers, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.